Then we'd come to Alert Bay, they call the Saltry. The cannon would be finished there after. It's the same thing over and over, as I told you. Mm-hmm. You wash fish, you fill cans. That if the boat gets there, they want the pack to be ready, you know, in boxes. So we've got to go work there, help the Chinese and the men, whatever men could work. The bookkeepers, right, they're writing their time, you know. They write our time when we start. All we get paid is 50 cents an hour, all the hard work we did. But we got pretty good money.
Did they hire the same people every year? And did they have, was there a guy who came around and hired people on for the crew at the cannery? Or did you just know to go up there every year?
The sailors?
No, up the cannery. Did they have a guy who would come around and make a contract with you? Or?
Yes, my husband used to do that.
Ah.
He used to get some of the Indians around here. Some would want to go as crew, and the wives want to work in the canneries. If he couldn't get enough women, he'd go over town. A lot of white girls were willing to go up. So they'd go up in the same boat with all their blankets and clothes. They were very nice girls. They weren't, silly or anything. Hard-working girls. And some other people lived in town. The one was called Annie Lagos, I think. And her family, she had two children, two sons. Her husband was a sailor, and she was working the cannery.
Right.
Those were all my husband's hired, and they paid him for hiring them, you know. And there's another guy up there, Edward Warnock, my husband's skipper, hired his people from Alert Bay up to Kincomb Indians. And he got paid, Ed Warnock. He had a lovely big home, modernized, really big home at one.
Was it Canada Packers who owned the cannery?
The cannery owned, maybe three or four packers that would carry 20,000, 30,000 salmon.
Wow.
And they'd have the cook and the guy that stays up watch and the engineer. Three in each packer. There's two Italian brothers had their own packer and a sane boat. And this Italian guy and his brother run their own packer, and he'd land the cannery, his sane boat, because my husband got it one time, and he had his crew, La Paloma, they called it. And they used to go. We were well off, and not like today now. Price is terrible, high. Fish, work. I pretty faint when I hear about it now. The cannery here, my son works there. Because he's got heart condition, he can't go fishing or logging. And he works in the cannery, inspecting what isn't good, throws it aside. And what's not a sockeye, throws it one side. That's what he does. My son inspects the fish, it's coming on the belt. And he says, today their payday is $1,000, 2 weeks. That took us maybe 4 months to make. Oh, me. But of course, the cost of living goes the same.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
Yeah, that's right.
I found that
maybe
out.
Maybe a bit of difference, but not.
Yeah, you just go even. You break even.
So in those days in the Depression, there was no union. Was there a union in the canneries? When you were working those long hours?
Yeah, we had the Indian Union. What do they call it now?
Was it the Brotherhood or?
Yeah, Sisterhood, Brotherhood. Sisterhood. That's the only union we had. But I joined in that because I heard they were paying good in Beautydale canneries. I heard that the tickets were get for $6 or $9. and the hours were 75 an hour, and they were paying only 20 cents an hour. I told the ladies, tell your other friends, and the workers were going to go into the net loft, and we're going to call the manager. What are you going to do? Josephine, they said, what are you going to do? I heard this, I told them. I talked to the leader. I kind of knew who would do a lot loud talking. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to put the manager as chairman. He can't have nothing to say. Chairman? What's that? They said, you'll see, I told them. Then I called the others. We sat down, we talked. I told the foreman, the manager, Mr. Matthews, we want to go in the same as everything as the other canneries, Butte, Dale, and everywhere else, the same wages. He got red. He's an Englishman. He nodded his head because he meant yes, you know. He couldn't say nothing. He's a chairman. They start talking. He kind of understood a little their language. And we got through, and we all went again to go to work, you know. Our wages were up now. In the meantime, I turned right around. What is it, Miss Charlie? $10 or nothing, I told our tickets. Oh, he got redder than ever. He had a pipe. He started smoking fast. All right, he says, all right. I went out, I told Katie, she's a very lively woman. She's still alive yet, I've seen her in Campbell River. Tell your friends, our $6 tickets are $10 now. Oh, they just screamed, run for me. My hair was just like that where they were grabbing me. But that was coming to us. The others had it. That was our cannery life, and, you know, too.
So that was you were in the sisterhood then when you did that?
Yeah, sisterhood.
You signed a contract with them?
Yeah, sisterhood, right. Yeah.
Were you ever in the United Fishermen's
I did
Allied
when
Workers
I, when I come down here.
Right. Can you talk quit, about that a bit?
Yeah, I quit going up north then. I had a chance to work all year in the North Shore cannery. And I knew the foreman there, Tom, lived in West Van, his wife Agnes, way up 17th, I think. We worked there, and my work was always good because I had to learn from up there everything I did. He went to see my work, he emptied, got a clean piece of paper, he emptied my fill, and I was still throwing it up. So I guess he thought I wasn't doing good, you know. I just fill it and throw it up, and I wouldn't look around, and I just throw it. What I threw, he grabbed, he emptied it, put it back, he weighed it just right. Doesn't too heavy, not too light. He quit, and he went away. And he come back. Gee, I thought, what is he going to do to me, fire me? Come here, says Josephine. I went, his wife was working, washing fish. I want to be the forelady. I'll pay you 50 cents an hour. You can fill in the meantime, and you'll get paid by the ticket. I looked at him, I didn't know what to think, you know. All right, I told him. That was down North Shore Cannery, way down. There was a cannery there. We worked there till October, but there was no more work. You don't work in the winter, you know, herring time. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? My husband is working the North Shore lumber mill down here. And I hate to be idle because my daughter, that was a young girl, was looking after Barbara, my baby. I didn't have Sally then. I think Great Northern's working, I told my husband. I'm going there to see. And I asked one of the Indian girls, Virginia, she's dead now, and the other Jesse, her cousin. Let's go down Great Northern. So we went down there, just all white women, but there were different Ukrainians and all different nationalities, these women. They were filling cans. I thought, I wonder what they'll say. I told the manager, "You want to work? Can you fill cans?" "Oh yeah, pretty good," I told him. I smiled. The other girls, "But they're not so good." "Oh, I need washer," she says, "wash fish." So they went to wash, I went to fill. Then the foreman come around, and I was throwing, hurrying, throwing. He come around. They still had salmon there. Oh, what it was, co-host. They were still doing co-host. And you seen me the way I was throwing my cans up. And the others were struggling, you know. White ladies don't know very much, you know. Mostly all different nationalities, young white girls. There I was, a few Japanese. No, they weren't here yet, the Japanese. He went and he took my can, he emptied it. He looked at it, he put it back. And he weighed, he just went right, the same as that manager, foreman down North Shore. Grabbed one, I just threw up again. I was hurrying, I wouldn't notice him. He shook his head, I looked. Never said a word. He's kind of old foreman. Went around. I thought, I wonder if he's going to fire me. And I went to see the real foreman of all that whole cannery. I told him, I wonder what's the matter with that old foreman that runs in the cannery. "Oh, he's pleased with your work." I turned around, I never said a word.
You were afraid he was going to fire you.
Yeah. And then he says, "I think you people will have to go work in the warehouse. We're going to box now. There's no more fish till the herons come." "Do you ever do herons?" He says, "No, I don't. I don't know one thing about packing herons at all." "Oh, you'll soon learn," he says. "This, what we're going to do, we're going to smoke the herons. They're going to be filleted. You women have to grab a heron and fillet it. You got to be fast. We'll pay you $1 a box, $1.25, about 20 pounds. My goodness, I thought, I never did that. Tried my best. It took me an hour and a half to fill that box. There was one lady, there's a white lady and her niece. You should see them. They just, those knives just going. Between her and that lady and her niece, they'd fill two boxes in an hour and a half. That was 2.5. Oh, they worked. And then they put it on racks and they bring it to the smokehouse to smoke it. Then we got to fill it. I got to learn that. I got onto it and I got real good at it.
Really fast, eh?
Yeah, I just see the sizes. I wouldn't look around. Grab a handful, throw it up. I got to watch how they're laying so I could grab it and put it in the can, a little quarter. And the foreman says, white ladies tried to copy. They just grab it like this and to be all curled in the can. When it's cooked, it comes up. It goes in the steam, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now he says, "You woman, stop. I'm going to see how you're filling." I went and he told each one that didn't do very good, show them. He come to me. I was still filling. I already had 6 trays filled, you know. "I told you to stop," he told me. "But I'd be wasting time," I told him, "getting paid by the tray." He went and he grabbed my can, and they were all perfect, you know. He'd grab from the bottom, he'd wait. He shook his head, he put them all back. Then he went to the other lady, she come from Littlewood. And she was a medium filler, but real good, you know, perfect her, because she was always perfect in everything. She was half blind, like the way I am now, you know, but she could work. She's got a daughter living yet in North Van, Mabel Silva. I'd ask to be always near her. I would be. We never talk when we work, because we lose time if you're on contract. So we never talk until we have lunch. She'd pick me up. I lived in Park Royal that time, across Woodward's. I had a home there. And when they come in their little car, they'd stop and pick me up and bring me. I told her, they want me to be forelady now. I think it'd be all right, she says. I don't like it, I told him. I don't get paid very much, $139 a month. I make more in piecework. And I'm used to hand filling. I just know what I'm doing, because maybe one day I'll buy that can. That's why I know I got to have it good. I wouldn't like to buy a shabby looking can. I think it's best, she says, if you become a forelady. I told her, I don't know. Then the manager come to me, Mr. Millard. We want you to watch everything. We'll pay you. Mr. Millard, I'm losing a lot. But we really respect you. You'll never dirty your hands. All you have is a pencil and a paper. You give orders. I thought, I guess they're going to fire me if I refuse. But the white lady told me, I'm retiring, Mrs. Charlie. She come from Caulfield. I forgot her name. And they want you as forelady. All right, I told them. This was during the war.
Oh, yeah.
And we couldn't get helpers, just boys that weren't taking the war and very old men. So we had to do everything, the packing, working in the cannery.
Women did all that?
Couldn't even get first aid. They'd get real stuck at the outer office for the fishermen's. And I was quick in adding. I could even do this right and add, you know, multiply or add or subtract. And they'd always laugh at me. How much is this? I'd be there in the air and I'd give them the answer. Oh, they'd laugh. I'd look at them. Nobody ever did that right in the air. My mind was that quick before everything, you know, I did. All right, I told them. Then they come to me. Could you come and help us in the outer office? We've got to write the paychecks for the fishermen. Well, I got there, I started hurrying. I'm thinking of the cannery, what's going on. Finished, I shoved the board. I run in. I run around. Everything was going good in the cannery in my absence. Maybe I should go out more. I thought they'd go good without me yelling at them. I went along real good all winter until the springtime. That's the ending of the herons. Then we had 1 month rest before the bluebacks come in, the spring salmon. And we did those big fish, what do you call them now? She's my member. They used to put them in the retorts on big racks and cook them. I call them big fish. tried that, and they'd split it. That white fishy cans.
Tuna. Not tuna. Don't get that here.
And the man just thought he'd try it, you know. They never did it. And the other fellas couldn't hardly do it. It'd get crumbs, you know. It couldn't go as first class. But I knew what to do. I'd look at it. And that will fit, I thought. Then I grabbed a chunk. I put it in the can. We got away a scale near us, and I put it on, I cut a piece, I put it on top. It just weighs, then I shove it in a hurry. Then the manager come. I guess he was watching the way. Then he told me, you better tell the other woman the way you're filling it. Oh, yeah, I was making good, I told her. I go around, I tell them the way I do it, you know. I don't believe we'll make good at it. Manager says, who won't bother with that? This white fish they all sell in cans. So we didn't do it, I was happy. I don't like weighing them. I like to know by my hand the weight of everything, you know.
In that plant where there were Native women and white women working, was there ever a tension between the women from different races? And did people make the same wages?
People made the same wages. We were all the same up north where I went. But when we got down here, we went to North Shore. We got along real good. People were really good there, white ladies. But when we went down to Great Northern, there was a mixture. There was Ukrainians, French, English, all different, as we call it. They were all white to our minds. There are different nationalities. They didn't like us, as Indians. They called us down. They wouldn't let us in the dining room. But I was stubborn, I wanted to earn money to make a living.
Yeah.
I told my cousins, he's still alive, my cousin James Reed, he's in the old people's home, his wife and their daughter. We'll stick to it, I told. And the others are all dead too. Gosh, they're all gone except my niece and me, my cousin James Reed. But I told him, they won't even let us hang our coats in the cloakroom. These were different nationalities. They weren't the Canadian or the English. They accepted the Indians. We were just one, you know.
Yeah.
We could talk French, they were good. Down there, they were all different nationalities. Russian, Ukrainian, I forgot what the others were. Oh, we didn't get along, but we never answered them. They just shoved us around. We kept working until James Reed's wife got mad. They shoved us off the table. We were washing fish, her daughter and I, and I told her when she got there in the afternoon. She went there, she grabbed one of the cranes, shoved her away. If you ever touch these two, she says, I'll shove you more. She went falling off on the box, that box is there. The others look, their eyes. Oh, I got frightened. I thought they'd pile on us, you know. They're all different nationalities, Great Northern, except Tom Scott's wife's English and one from Ambleside, I forgot her name. There was about four white people. These were really good to us, they knew me. From there on they got good, but we never mixed amongst them. We put nails on the outer and boxes where we'd sit, eat our lunch, had our coats. We wouldn't go in the where the dressing room was. We never forgot, but we never said a word. We never answered them back. We never got mean, you know. Mm-hmm. We go there to work, that's all, nothing else. Just that we were afraid of them. We didn't want any trouble.
Were there any Chinese women or Japanese women who went there?
This was later.
This is later.
These were all white people, and they were English and different. Then the Japanese come in. The war was finished. They come in. We looked at them. They looked so guilty. I didn't know. Funny. And from our hearts, we hated them, but they did Pearl Harbor. Didn't know what to do. We would just snub them, you know. Then one day, I turned around. I went to one. Her name was Jane, I think. Kidaddy. I see she works real good. I told her, I'm the floor lady. Mrs. Charlie. They're really good, they talked nice. They weren't like the other bunch that were there. These all went away then, they went over to Queen Charlotte, these that were acting mean to the Indians. Oh, I went there and I told my Indian friends, those Japanese are polite and they're good. They talk really nice. So everybody turned towards them. Then the other white ladies turned and we got together. Then
everybody were one. Did it. Yeah, that's great.
Then they were the best workers, the Japanese. Everything they did was perfect. Had nothing against them because I was the boss then. We'd go labeling. Oh, they were fast. They just grab one and they just throw it. They just seemed to throw it from one box to the other. I couldn't. I had to be there, though, being the forelady. I label. By the time they fill two boxes, I fill one. That's how fast they were. You could look at their labeling, just perfect, tight. Not one comes loose. Oh, gee, they were good in everything they did. I got more Indian women to go work there in the winter, you know, because they'd listen to me. Then when we got laid off, I had to have washed the cookhouse in the Great Northern Cannery, see that the meals for everybody. Nobody packed lunch except some of the Indians. I had to watch everything they can except the fishermen's. Times I'd run there and I'd tell the cook, there's more coming. All right, he said. They serve the loveliest meals, these man and his wife. Roasts, soups, puddings or pie for only 40 cents. Gosh, there were good meals. There, that was done. But I had to send two waitresses about 11 o'clock to set the tables, you know. And they told me to send some white girls. They're taller, you know, to hurry. The Indian girls didn't want to go. They were short and they were making more money filling piecework, you know.
Yeah.
So these two... tall, she was English, blonde. I told her, could you go to the dining room, set the table? No, she says, I'm not paid for that. The other one followed her. All right, this is, no, go on, pack up and go. She looked at me, and I turned around and I went. And the foreman come to me. You fired Sylvie? Yeah, she doesn't want to do it. I ask her what everyone's doing. I says, oh, she said, never said a word. They went off, they cut the bus, they went to town, I guess. Then when the cannery closed, there was nothing to do. They were doing bluebacks in Queen Charlotte.